Let's read together, you know, either in the Bible or in the PowerPoint, right? Therefore, okay, I cannot hear you. Okay, please give me your loud voice that sustains my confidence in preaching. Okay. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders than the sin that slowly entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's bow down our head. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. We thank you for the English congregation. Lord, we see your blessing your blessing pouring upon us. We thank you for that. And Lord, as we are coming to the end of the year, we'll celebrate our 10 years anniversary. And last week, last month. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessing you give us. And we are going to have the annual meeting. Lord, we pray at this moment, renew our commitment to you and to serving you, to love you. And we pray for this message that can benefit each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul asked me to talking about, you know, my message had related to commitment. I hope that, you know, these two verses will help us to understand about what this commitment means. Huh? If you study, you know, these verses, you will understand it's a conclusion of chapter 11. Why? Because therefore, right? Therefore, you know, and then really direct inherit from chapter 11. What is chapter 11 talking about? Chapter 11 talking about lots of heroes, you know, in the faith. Yeah, they're talking about, you know, like Abel and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and also Joseph and Moses, you know, and also lots of Israelites, and also including those Christian in the early churches. And then the author say, oh, all those, you know, are heroes in the faith, so they are beautiful, you know, witnesses for the Lord. So right now, you know, why don't we, you know, carry on our faith, because they encourage us to move forward, you know. So we stay in the course of our faith. We don't give up. We don't yield, you know. And we don't draw back. That's what the author talking about. Here, two verses, he used a very strong word to describe how do we commit, you know, to carry on our faith. He used the race. You know, you understand what does it mean to have race. We know the Asian Olympic Games happening in China. Uh-huh. And also talking, they closed the game, you know. But talking about, you know, 2 years ago, 2008, right? The World Olympic Games, where does it happen? It happened in Beijing, right? Uh-huh. So, okay, here the author talking about that, well, If we want to commit our faith, we're really acting like a athletics. Just running, you know, in the field track, you know, and join a game and to win the medal. You know, that's the image he's trying to encourage us. Is we are not just talking a walk, you know, take an easy line and then you have to run. You have to really do something, you know, have a goal, you know, in front of you, something like that. So from these two verses, the author specifically talking about, we have to commit to win. We have to run, and then we will win. Huh? And he's mentioned about three things. If you want to win, you know, the game, to win a gold medal or a silver, a copper medal, you know, and then you have to really pay attention to these three things. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to share with you today. You know, after that, definitely you will be a winner, not a loser. You like the message? Nobody feel, you know, your excitement. We should, because the Bible telling us we got to be very excited. Now let me share with you. You feel after the message I share with you, hey, Pastor Lai, I mean, I don't feel excited. I believe that I'm preaching a lousy sermon. Not because about the words of God. The words of God are so wonderful. Let's tell you. Okay, number one, next PowerPoint. Okay, there are three things. Number one, if we want to commit to win, you know, to win the medal. Number one, you have to accept the rigorous training program from God. Number two, to accept the encouragement of the heroes in the faith. Number three, to build up a vital relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these three things, if you keep on doing it, I believe that definitely you will win the medal. Okay. Number one, you have to accept rigorous training, you know, program from God. Let us read together chapter 12, verse 1. Again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Brothers and sisters, hear this verse 1. Talking about two things. I just mentioned about one thing. If you want committed to win, if you want to win, you have to join a rigorous training program from God. Okay, before I mentioning about, you know, we are really walking our Christian life just like a running race, you know, like athletic, you know, join a Olympic game, you know, to win the game. All the Olympics or athletics, you know, were picked up, you know, to join the game before they had to receive a rigorous training. Do you agree? Yeah. You know, in 2008, China win the most gold medals. How many? Huh? Gordon, you know that? You don't know. You forgot. 51. Okay. I think this country win the most. Huh? And among those gold medals, and also the other country joined this game too, one athlete who considered to be the best, whose name is who? Huh? The swimmer. Right. That's one I picked. Okay. Michael Phelps. Right? Michael Phelps. He win 8 gold medals. You know, he beat his predecessors. The predecessors just win 7 many, many years ago in German. But he wins 8 gold medals. However, we don't, you know, identify with his character. Later on, he smoked marijuana. And then, wow, everybody's so sharp. Okay. But however, he did join a very, very rigorous training program. Okay, from his eating, from his daily exercise, you know how much did he ate every day? Yeah, he ate, you know, 5 omelets every morning and 3 sandwiches, you know, and many, many drink and beverage, including 2 coffees, you know. He ate, you know, 5 times as much as hours in breakfast, and so can sustain his calorie, you know, for exercise every day. He need 1,200 calories a day. And every week he need to swim 6 days. Every day swim 6 hours. Every time he need to swim 8 miles. So that's a very, very serious training, you know. And no wonder he can beat the competitors. I remember that I watched the game, you know, the last game. He beat his competitors by 0.01 second. Yeah. And then so really a great athlete. Similarly, in the same way, if we Christian want to win, you know, this game in the faith, we have to receive a rigorous training from God. What kind of training God want us to have? there are three things. Number one, we have to throw off everything that hinders us. If you want to run, you cannot dress so much like me, you know. And even you have to dress very light as possible, so you can run very fast. He is talking about image. You know, if you want to really keep on our faith in the Lord, there are lots of things will hinder us. You know, that's talking about our daily life. For the students, maybe your school work, if you are facing lots of school work challenge, maybe, oh, you don't come to the church. Maybe you lose faith in God. You have a life burden. You know, lost your job. And, you know, your relationship and your financial problem, all those things. You know, it will hinder us for you to move on. What is the Bible talking about those hinderings? Those hindering talking about the pressure. Everybody have pressure, you know. The Bible mentioning about, yes, everybody have pressure, but God promised us that He will take care of our daily pressure. That's so wonderful. And also, God encouraged us that don't take much pressure. Don't take much burdens you shouldn't bear, okay. The Bible talking about that every day you have burdens. You only take good care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Somebody worried too many things. No wonder he cannot carry, you know. And also, we're talking about, we have the confidence saying that everybody have a burden. My burden, God gave it to me, I will be strong enough to handle it. You know, it's not too heavy for me to handle it, because what the Bible promised. So from this point of view, we have the confidence. God will take good care of us. We don't carry too much burden. And then we are confident that God give each burden, the burden to me, I can handle it. No, don't worry about that. Let me share with you about my experience. I took a trip back to Hong Kong to see my mommy. And then after I come back, you know, in two days, I need to preach two times in Chinese, not in English. If in English, I get more pressure. Okay. Oh, why? Because time is running short. You know, during the journey, I have no time to prepare. And I coming back on Thursday and Saturday, I need to preach in the 10 years anniversary. Following Sunday, I need to preach again. So how can I face this pressure? The pressure is just tremendous. Because I need 2 weeks to prepare a sermon. I think Paul, I know, he probably did a better job than I do. And so how can I do it? But I trust God. God, you mentioned about, you know, is the burden I'm going to face is not I take by myself, you know, I don't ask for, but it's natural. I'm so sure this God burden give me to take. So I have trust in God, you know, and then I experience His grace. Because why? Because when I prepare the sermon, very, very fast, God give me insight. So I done it very well. You know, so that is the that's God's you know, grace. So brothers and sisters, don't worry about your burdens. You have lots of burdens right now, but make sure you trust God. He will help you. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, and then you have throw off the sin that easily entangles. What does it mean that we are facing a war and fighting a war against sin? There's holy and holiness, that they are really fighting each other. Every day we are facing the challenge. What kind of sin we are facing? What kind of temptation we are facing? The pride and also the lust and the flesh. Every day we saw it, we see it. And we are easily entangled. So make us stop from moving forward. I do not know what you do, whether you figure out that yesterday at the very midnight, I still watch the internet. I watch, you know, a funeral. The funeral is talking about Elizabeth Edwards. That means the senator's wife. Somebody buried her, and because of her, strong will, optimistic, and then he earned lots of praise of the world. But the sad thing is that in the funeral service, her husband didn't say a word. And we understand why. Her husband is a very young senator and run the president for twice but failed. And then People consider them, this couple, a great couple. But however, later on we figure out that, I mean, John Edwards had an affair with a girl, and later on, a father, a child, and then that tragic thing broke. I mean, they make this family very, very uneasy going. I mean, Elizabeth, she is just a very good wife, and she held her husband, loved her husband, but yet had went through all this tragic thing. She still stayed. So we understand the point of view that, I mean, that sin really entangles us. This is the United States. How about China? How about, Taiwan? You know, the China, sometimes we read the news in the internet, and something very shocked us. You know, a news reporter, you know, and just like interview a child. Hey, like we have lots of child here. Gordon, what do you want to do in the future when you grow up? Gordon say, oh, I want to be engineer. I want to be a an accountant. I want to be even president or something like that. That's a good answer, right? But the point is that all the child's answer astonishing you and makes you so unbelievable. You know, the child told the news reporter, you know what I'm going to do? When I grow up, I want to be a corrupted officer. Why? Because I can get lots of money. That's the true story. It's so astonishing. How about Taiwan? We know the president, the previous president, Chen Shui-bian, was sentenced into 11th jail, you know, in a sentence. And then he was the first president in his, political party. And then lots of people admire him because he changed the, political, you know, climate in Taiwan. Everybody hoped him to be a good president. But however, because he corrupted, he collected lots of money, the money in an astronomical amount, number you never can think about it. So he was put into jail. And I think the president, the imminent president Ma right now, make a comment about this sentence. We shouldn't feel happy about that. We are all, because, you know why? Because the power corrupts. Absolute powers corrupts absolutely. What does he mean by that? That means that once people in power, he was tended to corrupt, to do bad things. You know, all those people, I mean, the president and the senator's wife, these people are good people. I mean, the husband of the senator, and all those people are good people. But however, they cannot resist the temptation of sin. How about us? We are facing the same problem. We are vulnerable. So this thing will draw us back. So we really try to avoid it. And then we will win. Okay. And lastly, we have to keep the perseverance. Even athletic, you know, run, you know, for the game and stop in the middle, and then he will lose the medal. So this is the training program God wants each one of us. We are facing every day. And so if we really join this training program, definitely, and nothing will hinder us to move forward and win the medal. This is the first point. The second point, to accept the encouragement of the heroes. I mentioned about in chapter 11, there's lots of heroes, you know, in the faith in chapter 11. Why did the author mention about those heroes? I think he is emphasizing a point. Those heroes, they did it and successfully. And we, today, we are facing this race. We are running. We can do that too, you know, because we are just the same human being as they are, you know. And there's no, that's normal. So why the author mentioned about those heroes? That means encourage us to move forward. Every time when you feel discouraged, I encourage you to read the heroes in the faith, you know, their bibliography. You would definitely will gain encouraged. Last month, our church celebrated, you know, the 10 years anniversary. I think about the last 10 years, I would like to say three heroes in the faith really affect the church, you know, a great deal and encourage us to move out. I believe somebody know Robert Xu, Reverend Robert Xu. Yeah. He is Angela Xu's daddy. Yeah. My daughter Angela know Angela Xu. Okay. And then, his spirit and power in the faith is so amazing. You know, let me give you an illustration. He is so effective in personal evangelism. And he is so anxious to preach the gospel. He worked so hard. And even at the end of his last day, I remember at the end of the last day, someday I call him up. Hey, Pastor Xu, can we go together to meet somebody newcomer and preach the gospel to them, to her, because she is a old lady, you know, by your effectiveness of your personal evangelism, he got to be saved, okay? So, Pastor Xu say, no problem. Where do we go? Why don't we meet somewhere? And then we park the car over there, and then from there we walk to her house. It takes about 200 yards. It's very close. And then we just go together, and when I drove my car to over there, and he already over there, and then we walk. You know what happened? After 50 yards, he stopped. He cannot walk. Why? Because his health is so weak. At that time, he already got a lung cancer problem. And I feel so regret and feel so surprised. Surprised to the point that you are so weak. Why you accept my invitation to come here and then to do the God's work? He's still willing. He's saying, okay, let's wait. Let me breathing enough and then still move forward another 50 yards. And then we visit to preach the gospel to him, to her. So he is so amazing. This is the first one. The second one, Reverend Jing Guo, Ma Chen. I believe that some of you know him. He passed away just last year. He just like David. He has the integrity in his heart. And also he had a skillful hands in leadership. And he give us wisdom how to shepherding the church. And then I just benefit from him a lot because I consider myself, I have no wisdom, I have no experience. How can I be a senior pastor in this church? So every time whenever I have question, I have any doubt, I call him right moment. Sometimes I call him with an important thing. You know, one time I feel so embarrassed. Hey, I have a question, I'm not sure. Why don't I ask him? I call him and then I left a message in his home. You know, and then what happened? He called me 3 times. Well, how are you? What's the problem? He thinks it is something very serious. And then I feel so touched. You know, this is Reverend Jing Guo. The other one, many, many years ago, probably you do not know anybody. None of you know, maybe Paul. His name, he's the founder of this church, Bishop Cole. Bishop Cole, you know. He is a man with his words. That means that what he speak and he really act. He's just preaching the gospel to the last day. And then his health is not that good. You know, to the point but he never reject any invitation when somebody invite him to preach. In his last days, you know, when somebody, hey, I want to invite you to go to New Jersey to preach that church. He say, okay, no problem. But however, his health is so weak to the point that when he reached to that point, before he go to preach, he go to somewhere first. Where did he go? He go to the hospital and then let the doctor give him an energizer injection, give him enough energy, and then he feel energetic and then go to preach. That kind of preacher, yeah. So when we are talking about all those preachers, you know, and they are not easy, but they really become a beautiful witnesses for us. And so we see those people, we are really encouraged to run this course in the faith. Let's read together in verse 2. Yeah. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, lastly, it's the most important part. If you want to be successful in winning this race, you got to develop a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. We know, like I mentioned about the athlete and also about the basketball team and the football team, the most important thing influence their success is in one person. Who is that person? This is the coach, right? The coach is very important. Okay, John Wooden is considered to be the best basketball coach, in the world. He passed away this year, June 4. You know, he was a coach in UCLA. He led the team to win 10 years championship. It's wonderful. Okay, he's a wonderful coach, not only for his skills, but for his personal character. And that's wonderful. You know, you can check it in the Google and you will find this is a great man. In other words, you know, if we are going to be successful, we got to develop a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the coach of the heroes. He is the hero of all heroes in the faith. We are mentioning about chapter 11, Hebrew, all those heroes, their coach is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, he already finished his life journey. He resurrected from the dead, he died on the cross, and then he's sitting beside the throne of God. Not only that, you know, Jesus also is the author and the perfecter of our faith in the journey. He can make us successful. That's very, very important. So if we want to be successful, we got to have a coach. And we are glad we have this coach because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He loved us. He loved to be our coach. He's our Savior. But the point is that, how can we work with him, you know, in order to be successful? We have to commit our life to develop a vital relationship with him. If no vital relationship, I tell you, no success. That's what the author say. You're fixing your eye upon Jesus. You know, there's a very famous woman who passed away in 1997. This woman called Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, when she passed away, the world just announced this death, you know, news. Why? Because she did a tremendous job, a great job. She established a love shelter for the homeless, for the dying. Of course, we do not agree with her theological point view because he was a Catholic, you know. However, his relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to learn from him. He really have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ so he can accomplish such a great task of faith. When the news reporter asked him that, hey, how can you do such a great thing? You know how much great things she did? Okay, in the beginning, she just developed one shelter. And from then on, developed 100 shelters. From one place to all the place over the world. In the beginning, she had 12 people to help him. And later on, she developed her staff about 1,000 people. The news reporter asked her, hey, tell me about your secret. Why are you so successful? You know, how do you facing those people? How do you facing so many tasks a day? What did she say? You know, all because of Jesus. She said, you know, I am just like a pen or a pencil, but Jesus is the hand holding my pen. A beautiful and inspiring and encouraging article was written out. Not because of the pen, nor because of the pencil. It's all because of the hand. Jesus is the hand. So he holding me and then to do the great job. So every day before he go to work. He knelt down before Jesus. Lord, please help me. And then so he can work day and night and really can see the people dying. She loved those people. Why she loved the people? Because she felt the love of God. God's love filling him to the full. And so that when she saw each dying person, even the lepers, she loved them and she followed them. She hugged them. Why? She said, I can see the image of God in this person despite his dying. I believe the most happy moment for being a pastor, if you ask me, in my life, not because of the successful ministry, I am a senior pastor, I can build up this church, something like that. No, I tell you, one thing I can tell you, because I experienced God's love. This is the most valuable, consequences, result. When I become a pastor, when you feel with God's love, you see everybody is lovable. And that made me so happy. That made me so divine. And even so, it should be natural. So, dear brothers and sisters, so we need to really develop a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we can finish this race. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you, and these two verses are great. We committed to win because you enable us. You already lay out a good program for us. You provide all the, heroes in the faith to encourage us. Mostly, most important, you are the coach in the faith. Lord, help us develop a vital relationship with you through the Bible study, through prayer, through walking with you, and then we develop this relationship so we can be a strong witness for you. Lord, we know that we can carry this commitment because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.